E1, number 35B.
And so little by little, we were seeing the Word of God, and so John Dolly asked us to study the synonymous terms in the way of the Christ, of the Word, order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, giving us a fundamental sense of the nature of God. From there, thought was led. We didn't seek for it because thought was led to the point of the Christ. So we came to the Christ translation because at that point we could see that we had, through the definition, the Word of God, established the principle of being, and now the Christ would come and tell us how that Christ would translate itself constantly through the Christ order to the point of mind or idea as manifestation. So step by step, thought was led to come down from principle to idea at the point of manifestation in mind. How? In that Christ translation, as we have them on page 115 in the textbook, Mrs. Eddy shows now that divine principle is always expressing itself dynamically as life, always expressing itself as the ideal truth, the power of truth, the power of consciousness, the ideal truth, and that love would be that power of salvation of that truth which would take care of any situation. So truth was followed by love as that which would take care of a situation as a power of salvation. How does love translate itself to its objectification, to the divine object? It says through soul, really, that the divinely subjective is identical with the divinely objective. There is identity of divine subjectivity and objectivity. So soul gives that identity of the source from which everything comes and the outcome of everything. That's soul. And as soul is seen to translate the infinite to its objectification, it brings to the divine objectification a sense of spirit, a sense of ordering everything, even a sense of purifying a situation by exterminating all that does not belong to it, therefore by separating good from evil, spirit from matter, bringing into that dualistic sense the sense of purity and onlyness. So that when the situation objectively is purified, you only have one thing left, namely mind, as the manifestation of the pure idea of principle. So the whole translation is taking place through this Christ order. And you have a sense that it comes down to us from principle, from heaven to earth, the divine message from God to man, actually divine translation from principle to the form of an idea in mind. When we saw that Christ's translation is translating the one infinite principle to the point of specific ideas, then naturally thought was flowing further. Namely to say, but this translation takes place all the time. Not only once, but all the time. And so thought was thereby led to Christianity. Just going over here to Christianity and seeing in Christianity what? Seeing that principle mind is showing that Christ translation from principle to mind is ever going on, and therefore that all ideas are principles ideas, principle, and because that translation goes on all the time, filling all reality, the whole realm of idea, the whole realm, therefore we begin to see in mind all is idea. That is not just one translation taking place, but infinite translation taking place, so that we have in mind the realm of idea. All is idea. And seeing in so that all these ideas have the identical quality of its principle from which they come, so that they are identified with the nature of principle. What is that nature? That nature is spirit. And you come to spirit as that nature which shows that each idea via principle reflects each other idea. And that's the nature of an idea. The nature of an idea is that each idea reflects all other ideas via the way of principle. So each idea is never isolated, it's not an isolated idea, it's always an idea that reflects all other ideas. And what do they reflect? They reflect something fundamentally, namely life, truth and love. What we have seen, within that reflection of spirit, you have the fatherhood of idea, namely that within that universal reflection, every idea fathers every other idea, supports, maintains, provides every other idea. That every idea sonships every other idea. That is, that every idea is conscious of itself, that every idea affirms itself, upholds itself, claims itself. And further, in love, that every idea mothers every other idea, mothers every other idea, namely accepts, welcomes, cherishes, nurtures the beauty, the grandeur, the promise of every other idea. And so a whole realm of Christianity was established in consciousness. And then, after a while, thought was flowing further and was asking, isn't there also an order of science? And what is that order? Until thought was flowing to the point where it began to realize that actually we have to see further, that which can understand the word and the Christ and Christianity is actually a structured understanding, a structured consciousness. That it isn't the human mind that can get hold of the word, or that can get hold of the Christ or of Christianity, but that being acquainted with the word and with the Christ and with Christianity, you really have a scientifically structured understanding. And so one began to see over there in science, the science order. You just flow now to the science order. And in the science order, one could see what is really happening or where understanding takes place. It takes place in a structured understanding that is structured according to what? That it is structured according to the Word of God, the numerals of infinity, soul and life. These are our new elements of consciousness. That those ideas which we have found as being ideas of the Word of God are now our elements on which we build, the structural elements, the identities of being, the numerals of infinity. That then we see that these structural elements, soul and life, are not static, but they are combined, that they move and operate within a definite calculus, spirit and truth. That calculus meaning that the relationships, spirit, always according to their nature of relationship, bring forth a new truth, spirit and truth. That every calculation, spirit, brings forth a new discovery, a new result, a new effect, truth. And we could see that such a reflection takes place all over the place, so to say, within the whole realm of being, and that therefore there are infinite calculations being made in spirit and truth, whereby each calculation, mind, each calculation, each idea has its own perfection, love, mind and love. So that we see that each calculation in itself is perfect, and so we had a sense of mind and spirit, that each idea of mind has its right place within the whole plane of love, giving us a sense of the omni-action of principle ever going on, because it is principle that is operating as consciousness and understanding and not our human thinking. And so you could see how over some years, really in Mr. Dorley's consciousness, the impact of the idea began to flow in a very ordered, systematic way from the world order to the Christ order to the Christianity order and then to the science order. And then I remember very well, and you know that you can read that in Peggy's book on John Dorley, about which I was telling you before, you can read how at a certain point he was seeing that he thought here was only operating on the level of what he called then Christian Science, namely on that level which had to do with truth versus error, or the divine resolving the human, that therefore the bridge between the divine and the human. But naturally thought was pushing forward and said, but this cannot be really the purpose of a science of being, just to find a way how to correct ignorance and to lift ignorance out of itself into an enlightened understanding. This can't be really the piece of this science. And so he began to realize that there is a higher level than just that practical, pragmatic level of bringing light into darkness. And so his thought was going further from that point and was leading to absolute Christian Science. And so thought flowed really nicely up here to absolute Christian Science in the world. or first to Absolute Christian Science per se, because that's the first thing he began to see, Absolute Christian Science per se, namely, that actually what is going on in an absolute sense, not in a human relative sense, is that the divine principle always expresses itself but in ideas. That's the pedal note of Absolute Christian Science. And so he was investigating this Absolute Christian Science, and thought was pushed to see that within that level of Absolute Christian Science you had the world, namely showing the source of that impulsion, of that principle bringing out ideas, and so thought was gently led to life, truth and love, where consciousness now is just contemplating one thing, namely that the infinite impulsion of life is a true source, and that that true source from which springs everything is already complete in love. And so you get that wonderful law of creative impulsion, which really says all the time only one creative impulsion goes on, namely life bringing out all the ideas of being, but these ideas of being are right, truth, and come from a perfect source, and therefore are perfect love. Then thought was led further, as we know, to Christ in Absolute Christian Science, where you began to see that within that infinite impulsion of life, there is that divine scanner built in, that law of individuation, of individualization, of specification, which would tell us that this one truth, that infinite truth, has within itself the ability to individualize itself to the point where it is giving the true answer, and that's love. So that we felt that terrific law of specialization giving us a sense that the infinite is constantly taking care of the specific idea. And as we were seeing that, thought was naturally led to Christianity to see life and love, and to see that that which principle brings forth in infinite individualized ideas, that that principle will also take care of those ideas and eternalize them, so that ideas do not appear and disappear, but that they are eternally maintained, provided for, supported, upheld by life, and infinitely accepted, protected, preserved by love, so that nothing can touch those ideas. And the moment we can see, could see that nothing can touch that idea, and actually thought was awakened to the fact that actually these ideas existed since time immemorial, that they did not have to be brought out from the principle, but that they are always in principle, and this led us to the understanding of the science in Absolute Christian Science, telling us that every true idea that seems to come forth really doesn't come forth, but existed since ever in the pre-stabilized realm of the real, existed there as a true solution, as a perfect solution, perfect love solution, truth, that the answer to the problem, the truth about it, was always there in completeness. And so one got the sense here of that law of spontaneity working on that level of absolute Christian science, and naturally it lifted consciousness to a much higher plane than in Christian science, so that one had a feeling, I am really engaged in consciousness to contemplate only true calculations, true computations with spiritual values. And as thought was contemplating that level, it was pushed further. And so I remember how John Dolly suddenly taught us and said, look here, what I began to realize naturally is this, that there is not the principle which pushes out all its ideas, which makes manifest all its ideas. These ideas are always in God and remain in God. And so he could see that what was meant, that I live and move and have my being in God, namely that there is just a great all-embracing oneness of being. And with that tone, he was touching naturally the level of divine science. You can easily see how truth and love in absolute Christian science was really giving rise to a new and higher level, because once one has seen that the idea is pre-established in the realm of the real, one could see, therefore, there is no such thing as a divine impulsion, but that everything is in oneness. So thought was led further to divine science. So we were beginning to think in terms of divine science, of oneness of being. That pedal note where we see divine science has to do with that infinite space in which everything is embraced, where the all is in all, where principle and idea is one, where there is coexistence and co-eternality of principle and idea, co and co and co, coexistent, co-eternal, so that we had only to consider what in life, just one life. One life. So seeing that there is just one being, one existence, and nothing more. That this one existence has a Christ, namely a divine ideal. That it is has a divine form, a divine ideal of itself. Therefore a divine form of itself. Not something undifferentiated, vague, misty, but a real form or gestalt. And so you could see that thought was being led further to love, which said there is but one love, one fulfillment. That one form of truth is a fulfilled statement of truth, and therefore always at the point of infinite perfection. And that perfection in science is principle love. We come to principle love, showing that life, truth and love is the principle of that being, and that principle of being is love, meaning that that principle of being has one thing, namely to define or to state the oneness of being, the closed loop of being, the self-organization of being. And you know that love is that symbol which we use in order to state that being is never without its manifestation or object. So that principle is not just a principle, but is a principle that wants to demonstrate and bring and show forth the self organizing principle, which is a closed loop of oneness, love. So that principle brings everything within the one all-inclusive oneness of being. And then, years later, in the spring 1949, suddenly in his talks about Isaiah, he was realizing that there is even a higher realm. And so at that point he began to see that actually we can see that what divine science showed us as a realm which had an input, process, output and feedback, that can be even overformed into a higher sense, namely by just seeing there is just the infinite one. And so at that time he began to teach this further level. And I just come back here to science, to the infinite one, to the one infinite principle. As we have seen this morning, we have seen that actually within the term principle lies the whole development of the chart. That if we, this morning we have seen that very clearly, that if we have principle and begin to comprehend principle in its synonymous aspects, that then out of that principle flow the other synonymous term, that out of that flows the four sides, that out of that principle flows the four levels. So that principle is, so to say, the nucleus of the whole of being. And that everything we are doing in Christian Science and with the chart and with the levels are actually nothing but an infinite scientific categorized structured expansion of just one thing, the infinite principle. And so we would arrive at that high level of consciousness on science itself, principle.